Welcome to the third part of the fan to follower series that we've been doing. In this series, we've essentially been reflecting on the differences between being just a fan of Jesus and being a follower. And the goal of the series is to help us introspect and come to repentance in areas in our lives where we are being merely fans of Jesus, and also to inspire us to greater faith in Jesus and help us to grow into being followers of Jesus. What is the difference between a fan and a follower? A fan is someone who stands on the sidelines and cheers, as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. But a follower not only cheers, but also completely believes in and imitates the life of the one that he is following. So when we began the series a few weeks ago, the first we looked at money. What are the differences in the way a fan of Jesus handles money and a follower of Jesus handles money? The next week, we looked at romance, marriage, and sex to try and understand what are the difference in the ways that a follower and a fan handles these three very beautiful things. If you've missed the first two parts of the series, you can look it up. It's recorded and the sermons are available online on our website. You may want to look it up. This week, we're going to be looking at Christ and our careers. We're going to be looking at what is the difference in the way someone who is just a fan of Jesus and someone who is a true follower of Jesus, differences in the way these two kinds of people handle their career. We're going to be looking at a Bible passage, and this passage is from a book called John that is written by a follower of Jesus. And John has written down a prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was arrested and crucified. That's the passage we're going to be dwelling on this morning. Allow me to read that out for us. This is Jesus praying to God, his Father. "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you." They, in this passage, refers to disciples and followers of Jesus. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture may be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by their truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world," Jesus is praying to his Father, "I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified." John chapter 17, verses 14 to 19. Could we just pray before we begin? Father God, would you help us this morning to look at our careers, understand our careers, understand our work? Would you also help us to look at Jesus, Christ Jesus? Would you help us to understand and know Jesus? And would you help us this morning to choose that which is more beautiful of the two? Would you help us this morning to worship, not just this morning, but every day of our lives, to worship that which is more beautiful? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I'd like to do this morning is to draw out three things from the passage that we just read. The first thing I'd like to do is to look at the call to be in the world. And then I also want to look at the challenges of being in the world. And finally, we look at the confidence to be in the world. The call to be in the world, the challenges of being in the world, and the confidence to be in the world. Most of us here are either professionals or artists. And the primary way in which we engage with the world, not the only way, but the primary way in which we engage with the world is through our Korea. In that context, I think it'll be quite appropriate if I were to rearticulate those three things we're going to be look at in the following way. The call to be in our careers, the challenges of being in our careers, and the confidence to be in our careers. So that's what we're going to do over the next 30 minutes. Let's jump right in. The call to be in our careers. I want to just go back to the prayer that Jesus prayed and draw out three things that he said. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to be going back to my Father. I'm no longer going to be in the world, but they, he's referring to us, disciples, we are going to be in the world. And Jesus is saying, he's telling his Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. In other words, Jesus is telling his Father, do not take them out of the world. Do not take them away from their careers. Do not isolate them from the world. And then Jesus goes on to say, as you sent me into the world, Father, I send them into the world. So Jesus is clearly telling his disciples and his followers that they are to remain in the world. Worked out in our context, this is a clear call to engage in our careers, in our city, and in the world. Whenever John uses the word world in his writings in the Bible, he is always referring to everything that you and I experience the moment we step out of this community called church. And when Jesus prays, I want them to be in the world, he's praying, and what Jesus means is he wants us to be engaged and connected with everything that is happening outside of this community culture. So Jesus is calling us to engage with the arts, to engage with fashion, to engage with business, to engage with stock markets. When Jesus says, be in the world, he is saying, be in your careers, go to your office parties, be in your neighborhood, be in the city, engage with the city, be in politics, be in business, be in Bollywood, be in the fashion industry, be in the stock markets, be in the world. This is very integral to our vision together as New City Church. We must all learn to live out the fullness of our faith in Christ Jesus while engaging in our careers. If you look at our website, we have that. We have three banners which come up on our website. The first is a man standing looking at the Bombay Stock Exchange, and we say, and we see Christ there. We want to help each other. We want to train each other. We want to grow in our faith of being able to see and experience and display Christ everywhere. We also have a thing of a model walking the ramp. We want to see Christ here. And it's typical workplace kind of a setting. We want to see Christ here. This is our vision. This is also Jesus' call on our lives. He is not asking us to isolate ourselves from these things in the world, but he is actually sending us out to engage with these things in the world. Consider this. At the beginning of his public life, Jesus often uses one phrase when he first meets with his disciples. He simply says, come, follow me. We hear that phrase repeated again and again every time Jesus meets and asks someone to follow him. Come, follow me. That is at the beginning of his ministry. At the end of his work here, just before he is crucified, Jesus prays this prayer and he says, go into the world. He starts our engagement with us by saying, come, follow me. And then he says, I send you into the world. What are the implications of this for us as followers of Jesus? If you're a lawyer, when you become a follower of Jesus, you're not called to become less of a lawyer to love Jesus, but you're called to love Jesus by being a lawyer. If you're a digital marketing professional, when you become a follower of Jesus, you're not called to love Jesus by becoming less of a digital marketing professional, but you're called to love Jesus by being a digital marketing professional. We're not called to love Jesus by becoming less involved in our careers, but we are called to love Jesus through our careers. let me tell you, this is a very difficult calling. The problem is that we forget that our career is a calling. The problem is that we forget that we are not there in our careers of our own choosing and of our own accord, but we forget that we are a sent people. We have been sent into our careers by God Himself. We're not going to really have the time today to go back to the Old Testament to reflect on why God instituted work. And this is not just something Jesus came up with. Right from the beginning of creation, God's plan for humanity was to work the creation and take care of it for his glory. The problem is we live in our careers not as if it is a calling. We forget that it is a calling. We live in our careers for ourselves. You know, I've been a business journalist since 1994. That's 21 years. And I'm still learning to live my career as a calling. Every day, there are these huge struggles and huge temptations and huge vulnerabilities to keep forgetting that I'm there because God has sent me, has called me to be a business journalist. I want to talk about two struggles that I've really faced when coping with this calling to be in my career. The first is this: mere fans of Jesus love their careers. Followers love Jesus through their careers. And I find myself slipping back so often into just loving my career while completely edging Jesus out of this. The difference between a fan and a follower here is in the mind of a follower of Jesus, there is absolutely no doubt as to what is his primary love. Jesus is the primary love. And a follower of Jesus is engaging in his career, in her career, as an expression of his love for Jesus. And because he is engaging in his career, because of his love for Jesus, we will give nothing short of excellence in our careers because Jesus compels us to do that. The second challenge that I really have to struggle with every single day is that I approach my career from the perspective as of what can I take from it. But Jesus did not send us into our careers, into the world, so that we can take from the world. But Jesus is sending us into the world and into a career so that we can give to the world. And so every day when I hit my work spot, it's just a question of time before I get so caught up, if I'm not constantly reminding myself of the love of Jesus, so caught up with just having a posture of taking from my career. I want to take success from my career. I want to take accomplishment from my career. I want to take money from my career. I want to take reputation from my career. I'm constantly looking to take from my career, not give through my career. Of course, of course, God uses our careers to bless us. Career is a way in which God blesses us, but the primary reason Jesus is sending us into our careers is not to take from our careers. I'd like us to reflect, to introspect for just a few seconds. Is your career about your fulfillment, security, and ambition? Or is it about serving God and others? What is the primary motive? While we reflect on the first thing we want to draw out of the passage, the call to be in our careers, may I submit that as much as we are in our careers, we are all very vulnerable to forget the real reason why we are in our careers. That's the first thing I want to reflect on today, the call to be in our careers. The second thing I want to look at is the challenges of being in our careers. In the passage that we just read, Jesus is being very intentional about communicating the call, our call to be in the world and in our careers. But we also see Jesus in the same breath also cautioning us with the same intensity about the challenges we will face in the world and in our careers. And Jesus is in fact praying for our protection. He's praying for our eternal security. Let me just pull that prayer for us. This is Jesus praying, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Even as Jesus is sending his disciples into the world, and even as Jesus sends us into the world, he is praying. What is he praying for? He is praying for our protection. Protection from what? Protection that none may be lost. Protection that none of us may be lost. I've come to realize that there is the real risk of us losing ourselves so much in our careers that we completely forget Jesus. I've been guilty of doing this so often in my career, of completely losing myself in the drive and the ambition and the pursuit of my career, that Jesus gets relegated to a very poor second or third place. Clearly, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be in our careers, but we are not called to belong to our careers. We're called to celebrate our careers, but we cannot allow ourselves to be consumed by our careers. And there is this enormous tension in the way we engage with the world and our careers as a follower of Jesus. You see that our love for our careers can and does compete with our love for Christ. We've got to be realistic about this. We've got to admit it, that these are two competing loves in our lives. That's not how it should be. But sadly, that is how it is. I'd like to dwell a little bit more about this battle between our love for Jesus and our love for our careers. John, who is the author of this passage, was a follower of Jesus. Besides the Gospel of John, he also wrote a couple of other letters, three letters to be precise, which became books in the Bible. And John had a brilliant understanding of this battle between the two loves. And I'm going to read two verses that John wrote in his lifetime that will help us see this ferocious battle between the two loves. The first verse, I'm sure all of us are familiar with it, that I like to pull out from the writings of John, is this: God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. That's the operative word. God loved the world. That's the first verse I want to place before us. The second writing of John that I want to place before us is something John wrote in 1 John. And John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. Do not love the world. Because if you love the world, the love for the Father is not in you. John is telling us that the Father loved the world so much that he gave up his sinless, perfect, holy Son to die for us on the cross. The same John is also telling us not to love the world, and he's telling us, if you love the world, the love for the Father is not in you. What is happening here? God's love for the world is redemptive. Our love for the world can be idolatrous. God so loved the world that he gave his perfect Son, sinless Son Jesus, to die as a sacrifice for our wickedness. This is redemptive love. And we have been sent into this world to display this redemptive love of God to the rest of the world. But what do? So often, we end up loving our careers so much that we shove Jesus out of the picture. This is idolatrous love for our careers. You know, in my life, I've come to see that there are two kinds of idolatrous love for my career that I struggle with. I'd like to define an idol as anything that I love more than God or anything that I fear more than God. And I've come to see that both of these idolatries are some things that I struggle with. First is I get so caught up in my career, in my success, in my ambition. In fact, I'm getting Jesus to serve me to get that. That is the first kind of idolatry. I think this is a little easier to see and to address in our lives. The second form of idolatry is what I call fear idolatry. And given the way our current economy is, given the workplace culture that is so prevalent in our lifetime, in our generation, in this country, a lot works in out of fear and insecurity. I think that's the operative word in most of our workplaces today. And so we all get sucked into the sense of insecurity. What is going to happen in my career? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if my boss, if my work is not up to the mark? And we begin to slip into what I call as a fear idolatry. This fear, this insecurity, you know, makes us obsessed with a career that we again shove Jesus into the second, into somewhere in the distance. And so, in the battle between the redemptive love of God and with our own sinful, idolatrous love, this is what I'd like to submit. The journey from being just a fan of Jesus to becoming a follower must involve a purging of our own idolatrous love for our careers and a growing in God's redemptive love for the world through our careers. This is the shift. This is the shift we need to make. The challenge we all face in our careers is to remain in and display the redemptive love of God through our careers rather than be sucked into an idolatrous love for our careers. How can we remain in our careers without giving in to our idolatrous love for our careers? And I think the simple answer is we need to see and experience the redemptive love of Christ Jesus in our hearts daily. We need to see Christ on the cross. For those of us who were there at the CBR workshop that Ted led for us yesterday, and one of the things that Ted said is when we wake up in the morning, we need to lift up our souls to receive the steadfast love of God. When I fail to do that, when I fail to cultivate a daily, consistent love discipline of seeing and experiencing the redemptive love of God in my heart before I head out into the world, what's going to happen is we're going to pick up things from the world to love, things from the world to find satisfaction in, more than the satisfaction that we find in Jesus. And seeing and experiencing the redemptive love of God is the only way we can overcome the challenge of giving in to the idolatrous love for our careers. That's the challenge of being in the world. And the last thing I want to look at and close with that today is the confidence to be in our careers. The confidence to be in our careers. The challenges of being in the world are so dangerous that Jesus found it worthwhile to pray for us. you know, if Jesus prays for something, I would imagine that danger is real. This is so dangerous to be out there. And the vision of New City and the vision we have for every one of us, that God would enable us to rise up to the high places, influential places in our respective careers and in the arts that we pursue. But we must recognize that this comes with a danger so grave that Jesus found it worthwhile to pray for our protection before he releases us into the world. If Jesus is releasing us into so dangerous a calling, what is my confidence? Where do I get the confidence to be able to face these dangers and go out into the world as a follower of Jesus? It's right there in the passage that we are looking at this morning. This is Jesus praying, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And as soon as Jesus says this, I am sending my disciples into the world, immediately in the same breath, he follows up with this sentence, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I want us to consider the timing and the content of Jesus' prayer. The timing and the content of this prayer. Jesus was arrested almost immediately after he prayed this prayer and he was crucified. Considering that timing, this is the real content of the prayer. I'm sending them into the world and I am going to the cross. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm sending you into your careers. I'm sending you into the world, and I am going to the cross. Jesus is sending us into our careers, and he goes to the cross to give himself as a holy sacrifice so that we can be made holy. This is our confidence to be in our careers. Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf on the cross, it paid the punishment for our idolatrous love of our careers. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross also gives us the power to overcome our idolatrous love for our careers. The more we dwell on his redemptive love expressed through the cross, the more we are empowered, divinely empowered, to overcome our idolatrous love for our careers. I'd like us to consider this. Jesus loved us with a sacrificial and redemptive love, and he is sending us into a place, into a world where he knows we are going to be tempted daily with an idolatrous love. Jesus loves us with a redemptive love, and in the same redemptive love, he's sending us into the world where he knows we are going to be vulnerable, we're going to fail and give in and be tempted with our own idolatrous loves. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus do that? Jesus would never do that unless he is absolutely certain that his redemptive love will eventually win over our idolatrous love. Jesus would never send us out in the world until he is absolutely confident that his redemptive love for us will overwhelm and defeat and overcome our idolatrous love for our careers. This is our confidence to be in the world. Not that we will be good people. Not that we have it in us to, because we come to church and do CBR and you know, I've got to be better. I've got to work harder. Psych ourselves every day in the morning as we go into work, saying, today I'm going to, you know, really display Jesus. No. That, our strength, our effort, our good intentions is not our confidence. Our confidence is the belief that Jesus had that his redemptive love is more powerful than our idolatrous love. Jesus knew that redemption is more powerful than idolatry. Jesus knows that grace is more powerful than sin. ultimately we will see, as we grow into followers of Jesus, ultimately we will see that Christ is more beautiful than our careers. Ultimately, we will see that Christ is more desirable than in our careers. That is why we believe that we can indeed be in the world without belonging to the world. That is why we believe, as followers of Jesus, we can rise up into the high places, into places of excellence, into places of accomplishment in every field out there in the world without becoming enslaved by it. This is where we find the power and freedom to celebrate our careers without being consumed by it. Redemptive love is always more powerful than our idolatrous love. The process by which we learn to overcome our idolatrous love for our careers by constantly gazing at His redemptive love is how God sanctifies us through our careers. One of the things I'm coming to realize is that my career is the crucible for my sanctification. I would invite us to just reflect on that really difficult boss, right? Or that really difficult power center in our offices who's always interfering in our work, making things more difficult. I want us to reflect on the unfair promotions, unfair appraisals, and the lower than deserved increments, the promotions that we thought we deserved that never came through. The hardships, the criticism, unfair criticism we all receive in our careers. I want to reflect on that and start seeing those things as the very means through which God is going to break the idolatry of our careers, and He's going to fill our hearts with His redemptive love. Mere fans of Jesus will give into the idolatrous. Sorry about that. It'll come up. Someone can help me with that slide, please. Mere fans of Jesus will give in to the idolatrous calling of their careers, but followers will experience gospel power to overcome their idolatrous love for their careers. I want to wrap things up this morning by just going back and tying the three things that we looked at this morning. The call to be in our careers. Someone who's just a fan of Jesus always looks to take from her career. A follower always looks to give through her career. The challenge of being in our careers. The journey from being just a fan of Jesus to becoming a follower must involve a purging of our idolatrous love for our careers and a growing in God's redemptive love for the world through our careers. The confidence to be in our careers. Mere fans of Jesus will give in to the idolatrous calling of their careers. True followers will experience gospel power to overcome the idolatrous love for their careers. What I'd like to do this morning in closing is to invite us to the Lord's Supper, is to invite us to communion, is to invite us to participate in these emblems, which for us is a reenactment of a retelling of God's redemptive love for us. For those of us who are struggling in our careers, I want to invite us to participate in the bread that represents the body of Jesus that is broken for us, and the wine or grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. I want to invite us to this table to see and experience the redemptive power of God that will break and help us overcome our idolatrous love for our careers. What I am saying is this, that it is not your effort and mine. It is not your good intentions and mine that will help us be a true follower of Jesus in our careers. We know that because we've all tried. None of us have succeeded. The only hope we have is to go, is to see and experience his redemptive love. When Jesus prayed that prayer, he specifically says he prays not just for his disciples, but he says he prays for everyone who would come to believe through his disciples. Jesus has prayed for us, and he has sacrificed himself. He has gone to the cross. He has sent us into the world, and he has gone into the cross. I want to request the band to come up and take us through a couple of songs. What I'd also like to do for those of us who are new to church, who are new to New City, if this is your first time, there are these cards which we have, which explains what this is all about and who can participate in this meaningfully. Our heart, our desire is that not just everyone in this room this morning, but everyone, all of our friends, all of our colleagues, our heart's desire is they too would have the opportunity to participate in this. But for this to be really meaningful, what this means is that when I participate in these emblems, I'm declaring that I love Jesus and I accept him as the only way to God. And I want to participate and I want to receive the blessing of his suffering on my behalf. And in walking up and participating in these emblems, we are saying, I belong to Jesus, and I belong to Jesus alone. So for those of us who are in that place where we want to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus is everything for me. I would really invite us to participate in these emblems. For those of us who are just curious about Jesus, who are interested in Jesus, who are exploring Jesus, we want to say, don't feel under any pressure whatsoever. You must walk that journey in your time. This may not be really meaningful to us at this point in time. I'm going to ask the band to take us through the song, and I'll pray, and we'll have.